500 and getting that 3/8 solo.
Well, we can get the price, I suppose, and go from there.
Go from there, yep.
So I need a motion for me to send out this RFP for sand.
So moved.
I'll second it as long as the date in there gets changed to the current year.
Right, yep.
I think it already is.
The one that was emailed or however I saw it was, I think it said the winter of 1920.
Yeah, it says pricing shall be good through the 2019-2020 snow and ice season. Yeah.
I will change it. I must have pulled the wrong one off of That's my fine. Computer. Yeah. I will make sure that it is changed to 2020. Yeah. I will proofread it. I'm going to have to send one of those to D&D. They do not have or did not have an email address. I will also send it to Twin State. We already have a price until October 15th with Pike for the product, and we usually negotiate an aggregate price for everything then. And so, and this is just regular sand. And last year I sent it to McCullough's, but it was my understanding their sand isn't very good anymore. Is that not correct, Jimmy?
I don't know so much about their sand, but I know their hardback stuff is no good. I know that for that. Yeah.
They did not bid last time when I sent it out, so I probably won't send to them this year.
Yep.
We need to make a vote on that motion. All those in favor, Chuck?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
And myself. I will make sure the dates, I will make sure the dates are correct, and we'll ship those out tomorrow so that we can open them on the 20th. I'm a little I guess they can leave them in the box, and either Ellen, either you or Becky is there on the days that the office is supposed to be open, correct?
Yes, that's right.
So if they left them in the box, someone would be there to timestamp them.
Right.
And then if that next meeting is going to be on Zoom, how are we going to open them? Is one of us going to fetch them and open them? How does one do that over Zoom?
Why not have them sent electronically?
I don't think D&D will.
You mean they can't email them?
The only way I reached them was by telephone and sending the RFP by mail last year. I'm only telling you the constraints under which I had to deal. I'm not saying they don't email, but that was not an option last year.
Well, I suppose you could put in their email or electronic version preferred in hopes that they will send it that way. But otherwise, somebody will have to scan it so we can see it.
Yeah, we could, just as an alternative, if they don't have... somebody there should have some internet capability. And worst case scenario, we could create a place for them to drop it, an electronic copy, if they don't literally have email. But if they have email, that would be great. If they don't have email, but they do have the capability to scan it and have an internet connection, we could create a place for them to drop it.
We also could have Ellen open them, or Becky, whoever happens to be at the office, and scan them if they come physically to the office. They have to be there by noon. They could open them and scan them and send them to us.
We could. Ideally, it would be great to skip that step if we could, but that certainly is an option as well.
I'll do my best. We'll cross that bridge if indeed we can't get it electronically, we'll cross that bridge and figure something out. That would be procedure that could be done via email, could it not, Scott? as to how to handle the bids if they have to come in physically?
I mean, you can, not sure whether, I would put it into the bid, just as John is suggesting, wording that just says strongly preferred or preferred that it come in either email or, if they don't have email, we can provide them a Dropbox. And then third would be paper copies.
Okay. I'll add that to the thing. Okay. Dan Maxim, driveway permit. I thought this was going to be in the agenda package. I think Becky has a copy of the application. This is a driveway at the very edge of the Appalachian Trail, down near Bill LeBaron's house. Mr. Swank is going to sell part of that property to Dan Maxim, and he wants to know whether he can get a driveway permit for the location where the logging access was. And I suggested to him that he get the driveway permit application in, that we would do a site visit for him, and perhaps then we could decide at the next regular meeting. I don't have a copy of the application myself. I thought it was going to be in the packet, but obviously something got crossed. Jimmy, do you want to set up a site visit with Dan and at least a couple of us can get there?
I can do that.
Steve, would you be able to get away and go to a site visit? John, I know you're working out of town.
Yeah, if we did an evening.
I could do that.
This time of year we can do evenings, but...
I could do it.
I'm available as well.
Okay. So maybe you'd set up something. Maybe if you could do it in the evening, that would be great.
Okay.
And when you get a date set up, a couple of us will be sure to go down there.
You're good.
Okay, I guess that's it for highway stuff that I know. LEMP approval. I sent you all the LEMP that Kevin Rice sent to me. He considered that document confidential, so I didn't put it in the packet. We need to approve that and get it to Two Rivers Regional Planning Commission. It was due on the 1st of May. And so we need to do that tonight. And I need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
I need a second. Were there any questions on the LEMP?
No questions here.
Anyone else? All those in favor of approving the LEMP for this current year, signify by aye. Chuck?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Don?
Aye.
And myself, aye. Excellent. Legal billing. The reason I put that on the agenda is that we got a recent bill from Switzerland Page for, for quite a bit of money, $1,558. Some of that was regarding TIGO, perhaps. Some of it was regarding our discussion with Joe McLean. But also, quite a large portion of that was for the zoning board of adjustments.
Somebody making a lot of rustling noise. Can whoever that is mute their microphone?
Yeah. Anyway, so I did ask Ben Brickner what was... cost almost $1,000 for the Over Bay Garage, seeing that it was in the same location as the old one, perhaps a little bit larger. And he said that they got a little bit carried away regarding a riparian buffer and some other issues, and he did not deal with that permit directly. That Michael Reese did. And so the reason I put this on there is that I have a spreadsheet here, and this is what we have spent on various things. On zoning and planning, we have spent $12,168 since the 25th of June in 2019. For the artistry appeal, we have spent since 2/13/19 $22,000 and $22,372. And Purple Crayon Artistry, which I assume must be just general things and perhaps something to do with Stichel and Page and the agreement that Ben and I negotiated for the payment in lieu of taxes or contribution, which is really what it is, was $2,800. And the reason I bring this up is these legal bills are getting pretty expensive. And I thought that we ought to know that. And I thought we ought to be cautious when we call them, that at $190 an hour, it's getting pretty expensive. And although I have been a firm proponent of having the Zoning Board of Adjustment use legal advice when necessary, I think that these bills are getting a little out of hand. That's my personal opinion. And if there, no one wishes to discuss it, that's fine.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing with everything that's been going on. I don't know what, if anything, we can do about it. Obviously, when we need legal help with these situations, we need legal help. Although, whether all of our conversations that we have with the attorneys is necessary, I don't know. But yeah, that's a good chunk of money. So, certainly something to be cognizant about when we're...
I would just point out for the board and for the public, part of this is that, and this is just a choice in billing, and this is something that the town may want to negotiate with Stichel and Page, but it doesn't matter whether somebody talks to the attorney for 1 minute or 60 minutes, it's 190 an hour. So, you know, different attorneys bill in different ways. For example, I bill by the quarter hour, not by the whole hour. So one thing the town could do is go back to Stichel and Page and voice this concern and say, hey, would you be amenable to charging in quarter hour increments or half hour increments to help us manage our bills?
They're charging in tenth of an hour increments.
I'm looking at the invoice right now, and
they're talking in tenth of an hour increments. The last bill that came through that I am holding before me, they're charging in tenth of an hour increments.
The bill I have, and maybe I'm just not seeing a column that's there. And you might be right, Emily, because I'm just not seeing it on my end. I see the hours and I see the rate, but I don't. Oh, okay. All right. I stand corrected. You're right.
They're already doing that for us.
Yeah, I stand corrected. I'm sorry. I wasn't scrolled all the way over.
And so all I'm saying is, you know, either we're going to have to budget for a significantly higher amount of legal fees, or we're going to have to be more cognizant of how we use them and how often we use them. And when I spoke to, and I called Ben Brickner or emailed Ben Brickner about what cost, you know, four billable hours here. And he said, well, I really didn't have much to do with that, but I was copied on some emails and it had to do with riparian buffers and a lot of research and one thing and another. I think that even the Zoning Board of Adjustment should be cognizant of and of what it's costing per hour and just what they want to ask. And is it really necessary? And I think the same thing goes for us. I just was shocked that it for a simple garage that was in the same location as an old garage, maybe a little bit bigger, certainly taller, I just was kind of shocked. And that's why I asked the question. And if it doesn't bother anybody else, that's fine. But I don't think we should continue in this vein of use if we don't start adding about $20,000 into our legal budget every year. And I would hate to see that.
I don't have the same spreadsheet you do. I don't know if that's something you created for yourself, but and you listed off where that money has been spent, and I don't recall the numbers you cited, but you know, it's good just to keep in mind what you're talking about some specific examples, but in the big picture, some of it was tied to legal settlement. So that's, I think, a big chunk of it.
Was tied to what?
The settlement negotiations. And
oh, absolutely. There's no question about it.
So
we spent $12,000 on zoning and planning. Mm-hmm. And that really had nothing to do with the settlement. And that was all since 6/25/19 to 4/22/20. And yeah. some of that was questions regarding in putting in that category with questions regarding a decision here and there and that kind of thing. But that we're just spending a lot of money, and I thought you ought to be aware of where it was going, and that's why I put it there. And we don't need to discuss it anymore. I've made my point, and I think that moving forward, maybe we want to consider, and it's a conversation for another day, that if indeed they are going to be consulted on a regular basis, that they at least talk to the select board if it's going to cost a significant amount of money.
Can I say something?
Sure.
To clarify, so the overbay, I just want to clarify, the overbay was not for the garage, as being stated. The overbay was for an accessory structure that was on the side of the garage that was inside the riparian buffer and inside like the 35 feet to the bank. So that's where a lot of that came. It wasn't about the garage. It was for the riparian buffer and accessory dwelling structure on the side. Okay. The other part was for a pond permit that for old zoning was ZBA rule, new zoning is ZA rule. So we had that jump on how we were supposed to process this. So we had to reach out to, and Joe McLean actually asked us to reach out to him to be able to draft a document so we would be covered under old zoning and proposed zoning.
Okay.
So that's where a lot of that was from.
Thank you for explaining that. That helps a lot. I hope you didn't think I was just picking on you. That just a lot of it's
yeah,
a lot
no,
of money.
No, not at all.
I mean, I think it's a bigger discussion to have potentially for another day, because a lot of the money has fingers that go deep into other, in my opinion, issues that have happened along the way. One particular large one, which I still feel could have been largely avoided, but that's my opinion. So, but yes, one should be cognizant of what's going on for sure. So I think that it's good information to have.
Emily, there's a hand up. Betsy Seebeck's got her hand.
Yeah. Has anybody looked into having attorneys on retainer, and whether that might be a more cost-effective way of doing it? Because it sounds like Karen is doing, you know, some really good work, but it's all legally based, so that's probably going to continue. And sometimes that can be a cost-saving measure, but beyond that, I can't comment, but I just wondered if anyone had looked into it.
No, we haven't, but we could, and maybe we should. Anybody else want to speak to this issue before we move on to the next item?
I think it would be a good discussion for another meeting, too. You know, maybe we should consider, you know, tightening it up, get more board approval, you know, for expenditure so everybody knows what to expect. This is a lot of money.
It is, although I think in large part, the money that was spent had a board approval. A good chunk of it was the artistry settlement, which was all board spent money, and then spending money on the zoning regulations. Is, you know, they asked us, you know, maybe, you know, we need to have check-in points with the amount of money that's being spent. But for the most part, I think all of that money, at least quasi or better, had board approval, in my opinion. So
sure.
But being more being more cognizant of where it's going, and I guess would be better.
One thing I would suggest to go in conjunction with this conversation is, and I support what everybody is saying, but I think we also need to have more regular conversations about what our legal exposures are on various subjects, because a lot of times the inquiries can be just trying to understand what our legal exposure might be in a particular circumstance. And I think that might be something that should be part of that conversation, is that we have more routine discussions about areas where we might have legal exposure.
I got one comment, but I don't know how to raise my hand on here.
Make your comment.
We hear you.
The comment is that you spent $12,000 on zoning, and that a lot of that was to get this zoning legally gone over so that it's solid. And your other expense was on artistry, which was $22,000, and it doesn't appear that artistry is going to come up for a year, come up again, hopefully, and the zoning won't come up for a while. So I would think you'd try to tighten your belt and get a better handle on what your annual expenses are before you try to go to a retainer.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement.
Yeah, and Joe McLean has said himself on a couple of occasions that we just happen to be in a period of time where we've got high legal demands.
Yeah. Yeah, one would hope and assume that neither of these expenses will continue moving forward, so to any large part anyways, so.
Okay, zoning regulations moving forward.
I know where I'm at with this, so I think we had a good discussion the other night. I think, and seeing a lot of people's reactions the other night, as well as others that I've seen and talked to, I personally feel that we have a solid document. I'm fine if others want to pursue a sound ordinance, but personally, I don't think we are at the point where we need one in town. But if others feel differently and we want to make a stipulation that the Planning Commission continue to work on that, that's fine. I think about the only places that it really might be an issue would be in downtown South Pomfret there, where people are close together. I think you'd be surprised, you know, if you put a 70 decibel level in, there's not going to be too many people might complain about sound, but then you're going to realize that it's nowhere near that level. So to me, having one isn't necessary. I realize that people want to have the peace and quiet, which, you know, we're in a rural area, people should be entitled to that, but we should also be entitled to be able to within reason, of course, do what we feel we should do on our own places. So, and given the fact that we haven't had an ongoing sound issue in town, in large part, we've had two, what I would call minor issues in the past, one that I was on the board for, and the other of that, the only other real thing in there that's been questioned is the change to light industrial, which I do feel that we need to allow people that own property that fall under a stringent review process, which it will, given the way that it's currently written, to be able to have a business. I think that's very important. I know there are people in town think we shouldn't have any business, but I mean, we've got Suicide Six. If they tried to build that today under any of our current zoning regulations, it wouldn't be allowed, but we all think of it as a pillar of our community. So I think people just need to think about before they get all over the not in my backyard. So with that said, I will make the motion that we adopt the current form of the zoning regulations. And if people want to amend that to put something in there that the Planning Commission continue to work on a sound or noise ordinance, again, I don't think we need it, but I would support that.
I'll second the motion.
Is there any discussion?
I'd like to discuss it. I don't have any objection to allowing more businesses to thrive in Pomfret. I think it is important to have diversity in land uses. I do, and we just finished a discussion about legal bills, and I think we're diminishing a potential legal risk here that should be looked at more carefully, because it is not a slam dunk. And this speaks to one of the next agenda items. I really would encourage the board to seek out a legal opinion from the town attorney to what extent the zoning regulations need to conform to the town plan. It is not enough, in my opinion, to say what has been said so far, which is simply that the town plan, the zoning regulations do not need to have perfect conformance with the town plan. That does not answer the question to what extent they do conform. And thus far, there has been no explanation to what degree the zoning regulations that John just moved actually do in fact conform with the town plan. And I would remind everyone, as we talked about in January, that there is specific language in the town plan that arguably has legal significance. And I would be concerned by passing the zoning regulations as they're written right now, that we are in fact creating potential exposure, legal exposure, where someone could claim that the zoning regulations do in fact conflict with the town plan. And again, it's in my opinion, not enough to say they don't need to conform and leave it at that. There needs to be an explanation. And so I would strongly urge the board not to vote on this until it has sought out a legal opinion to discover to what extent the zoning regulations really do need to comply with the town plan. And I will say informally, in conversation with Joe McLean, that he did say that it is an open legal question. So it is not a slam dunk. So I would be more in favor if we're going to take action tonight, I would be more in favor of adopting the July regulations if everybody has their heart set on passing regulations tonight, that we actually adopt the July regulations without the amendments. And that way we're on safe ground, and then we can move forward from there. But if the board has its heart set on passing the amended zoning regulations, I would really stipulate that decision be contingent on doing a legal review.
What part are you in the town plan are you worried about with the zoning regulations?
So in just as backdrop, you know, you all know that I worked with John Moore and Orson and Bill Emmons when we worked on the town plan. There was a lot of